We are in the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter. And when I'm in the barn feeding horses and mucking stalls, oh, that's the fun part of horse ownership, you know. So when I'm out there doing that, I have the radio on. And I search for stations that have preachers preaching. I like to hear those messages. And the best two are Moody Radio, 91.1 on the dial, and 88.9, which is, who knows the station? I could just jumped out of my mind. What is it? BBN, yes. Network. Okay, those two stations constantly have preachers preaching the Word. And I can't tell you the number of times that I've been out in the barn listening to that preaching, and the Lord would answer a question that I had. You know, I'm not thinking about the question. I asked it in the past, and I'm not thinking about that particular question. There it is. And as soon as it starts coming in, the Holy Spirit says, here's your answer. Listen. So I stop. I stop what I'm doing, and I listen. And I wish I had a notebook that I could write it down on. But sometimes it doesn't work very well. So sometimes I take my phone out, and I put it in there, or I got a message thing and I say it in there. So I'm always interested in hearing the Lord's Word explained. And I think you are too. I believe that's why you're here regularly, because you want to hear God's Word explained. So I promise you I'll do my very best to give you the truth and the best explanation I can give you. That doesn't let you off the hook. You got to double check, right? You got to be the Bereans of Faith Community Church. You got to look and search the Scriptures. So don't take me for granted. Search the Scriptures. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you that we can come together around your word, Lord. I thank you for these saints that are so interested that they come time after time, Lord, to hear your word and hear some thoughts about your word, Lord. And hopefully it's the truth about your word and it leads them in a way that's useful to them. So help us tonight, Lord, to understand your word so that we can use it to humble ourselves to you and be obedient to you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so we began the study of 1 Peter last Thursday. And that was chapter 1, verse 1 tells us, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, we are told that God scattered believers from Jerusalem throughout Asia Minor. Why did he do that? Why did I say he did that? Because it doesn't really tell you why he did it, I don't think. Let's go back and look at it.
To spread the gospel?
Yes, to spread the gospel. He says, verse 1, to the pilgrims of the dispersion. That's what they call the spreading, the pushing of the Jews out of Jerusalem. Because they were going to stay there till Jesus came back. Jesus said, I'm coming back. When's he coming? We don't know. He might come tomorrow. We better stick around here. Right? So they weren't going anywhere. All right. And then they spread out through Asia Minor. So that's why they were dispersed. How is God going to get his word? He wants to use humans. He wants to use humanity to spread his word. How's he going to do that if they're all going to stick in Jerusalem? So he moves them out of there, okay? So that's why they were scattered throughout Asia Minor for the sake of the gospel of Christ. Thank you, Jim. All right, in verse 2 that we talked about last week, we read that believers have been sanctified by the Spirit. Sanctified by the Spirit. Well, what does that mean? Sanctified by the Spirit. Well, sanctified means set apart. You've been set apart from the rest of humanity because you've been redeemed. You've been bought back by the blood of Christ. And so you are sanctified. You're set apart and redeemed. How do you do that? By obedience to faith. Obedience to faith. Not your faith. Not obedient to your faith. Obedient to the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ who went to the cross. left heaven, went to the cross, humbled himself to the death on the cross. It's his faith that we glory in, not ours. Our faith is no good, right? For that, for glorying in. So just understand that we're set apart for obedience to the faith in Christ's work at Calvary. That's where our faith is. And the resurrection of Christ is part of that process of Calvary. That whole thing is his passion. That's what we talk about when we say the passion, right? It's the stripes, it's the cross, it's the death, it's the blood, it's the burial, and the resurrection, the whole thing. That's what our faith should be in. And if it's not there, that's where it should be. So you might want to talk to someone about that. Verse 3 of chapter 1 identifies our living hope, who is Jesus Christ, our living hope. He rose from the dead. He's alive. We're not putting our faith in a dead person. Don't tell the Muslims that, okay? Because Muhammad died, and he's not coming back. He is coming back, but it won't be a happy reunion, okay? And that's all I'll say about that. But he is our living hope, resurrected from death. And where is he now? At the right hand of God the Father. What's he doing there? He's advocating for us. He's interceding for us. So anytime the enemy says, oh, Lord, this guy, this sinner, you can't let them in. Oh, what? Jesus steps up, says, excuse me, but I have paid their fine. I have paid the price. I've cleansed them. They are righteous. They're welcome in. See, that's what Jesus is doing up there now. He's advocating for us. Verse 4 tells us this. It tells us of our faith for salvation. Faith for, F-O-R, faith for salvation in Christ. That faith prompts God to secure our inheritance received through faith in Christ. Received in what? The faith in what He did. That's what our inheritance is based on. Not what we did. What Jesus did. That's what God is looking at when He says, you have an inheritance. So you get to heaven. And you get in. And God looks at you. And what does He say? You look just like my son. Just like him. I better take care of you. I better give you an inheritance. Is it limited, the inheritance? Of course not. He's God. He's got it all, right? And He lavishes His love on us. We're not talking about material things as an inheritance. We're talking about the love and mercy and grace of Christ. That's our inheritance. It's a wonderful thing, right? And then verse 5 reveals that it is ready for us at the last time. Our inheritance is there. And it will always be there. Because the eternal Son of God paid the price for us, and His payment is eternal. It will never end. It will never become ineffective. It will always be in force for us. Isn't God wonderful? So it's there waiting for the last time. Well, when you say the last time, of course everybody thinks about rapture or the second coming, you know, or something like that, or after the millennial kingdom. But really, we all have a last time. We all expire one day. We all leave this physical body and go on to glory, don't we? That's our last day. We're freed from this container. Right? That's our last day. And the inheritance is there. So when you arrive, you're going to have access to that inheritance. You're going to have access to the love and the grace and the glory and the mercy and all the good things. All the fruits of the Spirit that are spoken of. You get it all. Nothing held back. Isn't God wonderful? He's got it all there waiting for you. Now, I don't know if you got all that out of the first five verses, but I just thought I'd go back and recap that a little bit. And I'm glad I did. Because, man, that's encouraging, isn't it? All right, so let's go now on to verse 6 in 1 Peter. Verse 6, we're in chapter 1, 1 Peter. Verse 6 is where we're going to start. I'm going to read down through verse 9. I'm going to read that section first, and then we'll go back and talk about it, okay? So chapter 1, 1 Peter, starting at verse 6. Now, the first thing I'm going to say is, all that we just talked about, that's what he's talking about when he says, in this you greatly rejoice. Did you kind of rejoice a little bit inside when we were talking about that? I mean, I don't know how you could not help but do that. Feel that goodness, you know, that's coming from God. At any rate, that's what he's talking about here when he says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, remember I said it's not talking about material stuff, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Anybody here seen Jesus? No. He's not manifesting himself now. Why not? We have the Holy Spirit. God is manifesting Himself to us through the Holy Spirit. And it's not time for Jesus to come back. All things in good time. You know, we have a God of order, right? He's a God of order. That's why everything keeps going around in the universe like it always has been. Because He's a God of order. Planets and universes and constellations aren't crashing into each other all the time. Because He's a God of order. We need to remember that. Okay, so it says, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Even though you can't see Him, you have this inexpressible joy within you that you are so excited about you can't hardly contain yourself. That's why you want to tell people about it when you're out there in Walmart. And somebody comes up and says, hey, do you know where this stuff is? I can't find it. People do that to me a lot. I don't know why, but they do. And I will say to them, well, I think it's over here. I think I saw it over here. And I'll take them over there. You know, I just act like I'm, you know, okay, let's do it. And then before we leave, I say, did you know Jesus loves you? Did you know that? And see, I try to engage them, right? Always work, but I try. So we're full of this, and we just want to tell somebody, don't we? I hope so. And so we're full of this inexpressible glory, and we are receiving the end of our faith. The end of our faith. What is the end of our faith? What do we have faith for? It's more than just believing. We have faith for believing, right? But the end of our faith, when does our faith end? I guess that's the suitable question. Well, it tells us right here. It tells you right here. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That's when your faith ends. When you're there, and you know you've got it. Because you see, faith is hoping for something you don't have yet. Isn't that the explanation of faith that we get in the book of Hebrews? We're hoping for something that we believe we're going to get, but we haven't seen it yet, and we're hoping for that, and we're holding on to that hope, and bang, when we get there, we see we have it. Isn't that great? How do you explain that to somebody who doesn't give a hoot about God? Boy, there is the challenge, okay? There's the challenge. All right, let's go back now and talk a little bit more about this. And so, first thing I got to say is, oh, praise God, do a little dance, do a little jig. Praise God, go around hollering and shouting, God loves me, save me, oh, I got glory to look forward to. That's where I'm going. That's kind of how we should feel, right? We should get all excited and dance the dance of the redeemed of God. Yeah. That's why those Pentecostals are jumping around and dancing around, because they don't hold back. They realize, I got it. I haven't seen it yet, but I've got it. I got faith. Can't you get excited? God is keeping us in His kingdom. Oh, sorry, you thought you were keeping yourself in the kingdom, right? No, I'm sorry. We're not keeping ourselves in the kingdom, because we have to constantly go back and say, oh, I'm sorry, Lord. Please forgive me for this. Please forgive me for that. I'll try my best not to do it again. We can't keep ourselves in God's kingdom. We'd fail miserably. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, let me tell you what. Even the power of God can't keep you on the straight and narrow. You just might as well admit it. I can't live a perfect life for Jesus. I can't do it. And say, I can do it. You can't do it, because you're right there saying, I'm perfect. I'm as good as Jesus. I'm perfect. Hey, you're done. Yeah. Here it is. The bane of our existence. That's what this is. You're here on earth, got to have it. Deal with it. But we can be excited because God, in His faith, is keeping us in His kingdom. So that when we show up, we don't have to worry. Am I going to get in? Am I going to make it? See, we don't have to be that way. Praise God. So, praise the Lord Jesus, who has washed away our sins and made us fit for glory. Amen. By the washing and regeneration, by that's what it is. The Holy Spirit woos us into our decision to trust Jesus. Yes.
If the rapture takes place before we die one day, we won't need faith, and we go up, glorified body, one that's incorruptible, that doesn't sin.
Yeah, I just said that. When we get to glory, we realize the salvation of our soul. That's when our faith ends. Oh, you better stick with me. You better stay close. Okay. I know you think you understand what you think I said, but I don't know if what you think I said is what I actually really said. Stay with me. All right? Now, we are made fit for glory through the washing and regeneration of the sacrifice of Christ, the propitiation for our sin by the Holy Spirit. Titus 3:5 says, I'm ready, oh, come, Lord Jesus, I'm ready to go. Yeah, we're ready. In this we rejoice. Jesus Christ has made us ready. Oh, we ought to be jumping around this place. We're ready for glory. If He came right right now, we'd be fit. We'd go in. Oh, man. Rejoice in the knowledge of where you are going in Christ.
Hallelujah.
In this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Jesus has overcome this world. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Don't
worry about tomorrow. Stick with today. Be faithful today. Do what the Lord wants you to do today. Walk in the Spirit today.
Humble yourself today.
Do the will of God today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Jesus said, today has enough things for you to be concerned with. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 7. Rejoice also that your faith is genuine.
Genuine.
Well, go back to verse 7. What does it say? See if I can find it here real quick. Here's what it says. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So what is that actually saying? It's saying you need to hope your faith is good enough when Jesus comes, you can go with Him. Is it?
Yes.
Your faith is good enough?
Yeah.
No, your faith is not. I thought we settled that. I thought we already talked about that. It's not your faith. It's His faith. It's His faith. You are in Him. He is in you. It's His faith that makes you ready. It's His faith that even being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. His faith is more pure, more strong than that. You have His faith in you. Because He is in you. Listen, I say this many times. Take everything you know about the Scripture. Everything you can remember about it. Does the Scripture say Christ is in you? Christ in you, the hope of glory? Of course it does. Don't stand on your faith. Stand on His faith. You'll get a lot farther, right? So now that we know that, rejoice also that your faith is genuine, not because of you or your weak pre-salvation efforts to be good. Do you remember that? How you were trying to be good? You heard about God, you heard about Jesus, and you knew you had to be good. Because Jesus wants us to be good. So I'm going to try my best to be good. How far did you get with that? Oh, did you? And got those words out of your mouth and you were in trouble already. So it's not on our efforts, but because of the Holy Spirit who led you to faith in Christ. He led you to faith. Now, he didn't say for you. He didn't say the words for you. You had to say the words. He didn't say them. But He led you to that point where you knew you needed to say, God, save me. Jesus, save me. I'm a lost sinner and I'm on my way. Who knows where? Not a good place. That's where He led you and you said yes to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
He led you there, right? Yes, God brought you to faith and because of Him, you decided to receive Him. Yes, you decided to receive Jesus. You found out, I need Him. There's no other way. I must have Jesus. And you said yes. That's what you did. You received your Redeemer. You received God, you received Jesus Christ. You received your righteousness. His righteousness. Because we don't have any. So it couldn't have been yours. Yes, that faith that is worth more than anything in this world, even your life. The faith of Jesus is worth even your life.
Because you don't have it.
Yeah. You realize that He asked you to give Him your life. He asked you to lay down your life and be a living sacrifice for Him. Right? That's what we're talking about. It's worth more than even your life. Here's more good news. Did you take that as good news? That the faith of Jesus is worth even more than your life? Because the way I said it there, it sounded a little ominous, you know. But it's a good thing. You have the faith of Christ that's worth more than anything. Let me say it that way. And then there's even more good news. God will keep you in that faith until Christ returns.
Amen.
You can't get out of it. You've made a lifelong commitment. And you cannot renege on the deal. You can't even take yourself out. A lot of people say, well, what if I just want to give it up? Bah, 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 bah. You can't. You can't. Oh, you can go off on a tangent, and if you survive that tangent, eventually you'll come back. But what if you don't survive the tangent? What if you die as you're going off the rails? You still belong to the Lord. Oh, Frankie, I'm so glad you got it. You still belong to the Lord. You're still going to be there with Him. He's still going to welcome you in like you look like His son. Come on in here. I got an inheritance for you. That's all still going to happen. Now, it won't be as great, right? But you'll still be there. All right? Oh, isn't God good? Can you say, God is good?
God is good.
Jesus assures us in John 10:28. This is God's Word. God, here's what He says. Give them eternal life. Does eternal life ever end?
No.
No, it's eternal. It doesn't have an end. And as far as I know, it doesn't have a beginning. When something's eternal, it doesn't have a beginning or an end. Then He goes on and says, they will never perish. That's God speaking over you. You will never. And no one will snatch them out of my hand.
Amen.
That's our Lord.
You can't get out.
Wow.
Are you someone?
Yes.
Okay, so you're not a no one because you're a someone. So you can't snatch yourself out. That's the way my logic says. Wow. Jesus is overflowing with good. Is He not?
He sure is.
The good news. Jesus is our grace. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
He is our grace. He doesn't give us what we deserve. He gives us what we do not deserve. He gives us Himself. He puts Himself in us. He lives within us. And if we would just yield to Him, our life would be much like His. Going around doing good, healing people. All the good things that Jesus did, all the fruits of the Spirit would be coming out, right? You want that? Be obedient. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Are you willing to try? You wouldn't try that? Not easy. Because you'll be going through something you won't even be thinking about. Something you'll pop off. Yeah, you'll pop off. And I mean, you don't have to use bad words or anything to pop off. You don't even have to say things sometimes. You just be silent and look on your face. It says, I'm popping off. I don't like that. Yeah. Right?
No.
understand popping off. I don't know. At any rate, we can rejoice because we're in Christ. We are secure. We are assured of our salvation. Can it get any better than that? Can there be any stronger way to say, you made it. You made it. I don't think so.
What a day that will be.
Amen. And then verse 8. Go back and look at it. I like to refresh memories here. Verse 8, whom, having not seen, Jesus, whom you've not seen, you love. Do you understand now why you love Him? You got a better grip on that? Though now you do not see Him, yet believing. What does that mean? Yet believing. What's another word for belief? Faith. Faith. You're having faith even though you're not able to see Him, touch Him. He's not tangibly there. But you have the faith. Why do you have faith? Have you ever thought about that? Why do you have faith? Is there evidence for faith? Of course there's evidence for faith. Just read Lee Strobel. Now, you don't need to read Lee Strobel. Just read the Bible. It's right there. Read what Jesus did. And then read how He died and was resurrected. But you know what Jesus said? Even if somebody died and came back, don't believe. Yeah, that's what He said. That's true, isn't it? Sure it is. Yeah. Okay, so in verse 8, Jesus, whom having seen you love, though now you do not see Him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Have you experienced that?
Yes.
Have you run around crying out, praise God, praise God, glory to God? You ever done that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's okay with me if you get out in the woods somewhere where nobody's around and you do it. I mean, maybe you don't want people seeing you doing that, but why do it if you don't want people to see you? You know? What glory is God going to get out of that? At any rate, we've not seen Jesus physically. So what do we have to do? Walk by faith, not by sight. Right? So when you're sitting in that airplane and everything starts shaking, you know, and you're going up and poof, the bottom drops out and you're going down, and then you're thinking, oh my goodness, I'm dead, you know? You know Pastor John Hagee?
Yeah.
He's on a plane like that. The plane was going to crash. They thought it was going to crash. They lost one of their engines. It was coming in for a landing. And the PA system there and this flight attendant said, you need to bend down, put your head between your legs, and put your tray, whatever you do with that. And so he didn't do it. He was just sitting up, looking. And his wife said, John, you need to get down. He said, no, if I'm going to die, I want to see it coming. So he sat up. But listen, you got to have faith that it's not going to happen. Or you can have faith this way. If God's will is for me to die right now, so be it.
Amen.
I have faith. And if His will is for me to live on and proclaim His name, praise God, so be it. I'm going to do it. See, that's the real kind of faith. Doesn't matter what happens. Whatever God wills to happen is the best thing that can happen. You might suffer some, but it's still the best thing. Do you think Joni Erickson Tada, what are some things she might have thought? As a young girl, she became a quadriplegic through a diving accident, confined to a wheelchair. Somebody had to do everything for her. God's will. God's will.
But how
has He used her through the years? He's used her. So many lives have been touched. Doesn't seem like a good thing, does it? I wouldn't be a teenager becoming a quadriplegic. But I would hope, like her, I would have that kind of faith. Yeah. Praise God, she did. Amen?
Amen.
This is how we bring honor and glory, showing Jesus our love, through the love of our efforts. Not our perfection, but through our trying. Led by the Holy Spirit on behalf of Jesus, our Savior and Lord, we serve Him. Why?
For love's sake.
For love's sake. Do you think people ever think about, I'm serving the Lord because I'm going to get what I'm going to get when I get to heaven? I'm seeing the reward. I don't think people that are serious about serving the Lord ever think that way. I think they just think, I'm going to do this because I love the Lord. Show others His love, and I want them to be part of the kingdom. Exactly what all's coming. It's going to be good, but we don't know what it's going to be. So we do what we do for the Lord because of His love for us. That's why we do it. Because we want to show Him love back. He loved us to death. We want to show Him love. And the Apostle Paul says, it's only reasonable that you die to self, become a living sacrifice. That's just reasonable. That's what He did for you. He died. You don't have to shed your blood. You just have to give up your wants and desires. People towards Him. Holy Spirit in you. To help you guide people to Jesus. You just do the guiding, all right? What else motivates us to suffer, both great and small, Jesus? What else causes us to want to serve Him? Well, verse 9 gives it to us. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We know we're not going to hell. We know that. We don't have to worry about it. That's been settled. Anybody that has been truly saved doesn't worry about that anymore. I don't worry about it. Do you? No. We have a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is risen, whatever men may say. You see, we know it. We have faith. Faith based on evidence and witnesses. It's great, isn't it? Now, I'm not a Greek scholar. I don't know the Greek language really great. However, I can sense that the word receiving, receiving the end of your faith. Receiving is in the perfect tense. Well, what does that mean? It means that we have received it, we are receiving it, and we will continue receiving it right on into the future. We're there. We're there. We've got it, and we're going to always have it. We are receiving it now, and we will continue to receive our salvation until when? The day of Christ Jesus, which I've already said could be different. There is a day called the day of Christ Jesus, all right? But that could be our day of Christ Jesus. Because when I die, I'm expecting that I'm going to see Jesus. Not because I'm special, just because I'm one of His. That's all. I'm just another mushroom in the patch. Holds us in high. Jesus Christ, amen?
Amen.
All right. Are you getting anything out of this?
Yeah.
Good. Maybe we can get a little bit further here. We won't finish, but we'll get somewhere. All right, so I have on that page, amen. God tells us through Paul in Philippians 1:6, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Yes, 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 he will. Yes, he will. Can't you get excited over it a little bit? Come on. He's going to take us right on home.
Amen.
All right, let's go on to verse 10 through 12. And read it to yourself as I read it out loud. Starting at verse 10. Of this salvation, what we've been talking about, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully. You know who the prophets were, right? Men of God who lived in the old days, and they were speaking God's will that He gave them to speak, right? They spoke for the will of God. They prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when He testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Oh man, that's a mouthful there, isn't it? Basically, it says they didn't really understand it and they were searching for the answers. Verse 12, to them it was revealed. Oh, God showed them. Not to themselves, but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit, sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Yeah. Angels are interested. They wanted to know. They wanted to know. Hey, the prophet spoke about Him, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the wonderful Counselor. But they had trouble with this. He poured out His soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet He bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. That's in Isaiah 53:12. What? We thought He was the glorious Messiah, Savior of Israel. He's going to defeat all of our enemies, take us on home. So they were having trouble. They had trouble with this. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. That's from Psalm 16:10. What? The Messiah is going to die? It's possible He's going to be in the grave? How can that be? That wasn't on their menu. But they weren't looking at what God had in store. Not to mention that the Hebrew word symbol for Messiah is an open window with no one in view. It's just an open window. They're looking. They're looking for the Messiah. They don't know what He looks like. They just know He's coming. They know He's coming from God. They're looking. It's symbolizing that they're waiting for this unidentified Messiah. Who will He be? Well, they had some clues, but not a definite, specific thing. And then verse 11. Searching what? Or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, who was in them. The Spirit of Christ was in these prophets, telling these things that were going to happen. Who was in them, indicating when He testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. What do you mean, sufferings of Christ? There's no suffering for Him. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. See, they didn't understand. In verse 11, they searched, oh yes, to understand this Jekyll and Hyde narrative of the Messiah. of whom they prophesied, searching for what he would do when he would reveal himself, and how would he reveal himself? They weren't sure. They didn't expect a baby. I'm sure of that. Then, in verse 12, they realized. Yeah, they came to a realization. They realized that it wasn't just about them. Hey, this is a bigger picture than just us. There's more in this group that God is talking about. It was about a much larger group of people. To them, it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us. You and I, they were ministering. All people. Really, it was about announcing the Messiah, His grace and salvation to all of humanity. They also realized that they had been empowered by the Holy Spirit of God to speak the truth. They told everything they could as truthfully as they had to. They had the Spirit of God in them. They spoke the truth with angels desire to look into. Hey, we want to know what's going to happen, and we want to be the ones to announce it. Did they get to? Well, my Bible says that they appeared to the shepherds in the field, angels by night, and told them, go into the city. The Messiah is there. Born, you'll find him laying in a manger. So eventually they did get to be part of it, didn't they? Oh, they wanted to be. They wanted to be. They wanted to be the ones to announce it. And they got their shot. They also realized they had been empowered by the Holy Spirit of God to speak this truth. The truth which angels really wanted to announce, but the Holy Spirit wanted men to tell it before it happened. This is what we expect. See if you can put the pieces together and picture. Verse 12 says, again, reported to you have preached to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. What is Peter saying? God wants you to know. God wants you to know. That's why He gave you this. He wants you to read it, study it, remember it. Know that He is in the world, working in the world via the Holy Spirit, so that you one day will be in His home in glory. Isn't God good? All this He does for us. All this He does for us. Now, I know this is going to break your heart, but we're going to have to wait till next week to do 13 through 16. So we'll pick it up there, okay? What do you think? What are you thinking now that you've heard all this? What are your thoughts?
Can't wait to get to heaven.
Can't wait to get there. What are your thoughts? Hopefully you know a little more now than you did when you came in. What are your thoughts? What do you think?
You said that when you talk about eternal life, you don't know that there's an end or even a beginning. For us, wouldn't eternal life be a beginning?
God knew. And all of us, the Scripture teaches, all of us were in God before creation. Well, if we were in God before creation, were we not eternal? Now, we weren't really in existence, were we?
No.
We only existed in the mind of God.
Right.
But from that viewpoint, you could say we had no beginning until He brought us into reality. Just something to think about. Yes?
And everyone's actually going to have eternal life, even the unsaved. Theirs is going to be.
I was thinking
not
the same thing.
Absolutely.
Eternal one.
Absolutely. Because you know, God does not annihilate. Yeah. When people die, even the unsaved, when they die, He doesn't annihilate their bodies. Your body, when you die, will not be annihilated. Oh, it'll dissolve, it'll go back into the dirt, whatever. But guess what? It'll be brought back together and resurrected. Only it'll be resurrected with a glorified body. So see, He doesn't annihilate that. He just puts it in a waiting state. So when it's ready, when the time is right, He'll bring it back. That's right. That's what the rapture is about. That's what people have a hard time about it. Your old body comes out from wherever it is. It's glorified and reunited with your spirit and your soul. And then away you go into eternity.
God gives you the faith to believe that.
That's right. He does, via the Holy Spirit. Did people in the Old Testament have faith through the Holy Spirit? Well, where did they get their faith? The Holy Spirit would come upon them, yes. You see, they got saved the same way we get saved. There's nothing new about that. You experience God. The Holy Spirit works on you. You make a decision. That's just the way it is.
Without faith, it's impossible to please God.
So that's it.
They could, when the faith left them, they couldn't maintain it because God took.
They weren't indwelt, no. That's right. It's all about God. And more specifically, it's about Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Who is God?
That's right. You see, you got to connect all those things. That's why I say, take all you know from the Bible, all you've been taught, all that's right, take it and use it to get understanding. All you have to do is connect the dots. That's a lot of them for you. How does He do that? Through the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's go. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll go home. Father, I so thank You for Your love and Your mercy, the way You put everything together for us, Lord. And then You're so gracious, You tell us all about it. And You give us the opportunity to be part of Your kingdom, part of Your family. You draw us by Your Holy Spirit, Lord, and You love us into a decision for You, and You're just plain good to us. Praise to You. Praise to You, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Be with us now as we go. Help us to humble ourselves, do Your will, not ours, and be obedient to You, that we might bring honor and glory to Your name, and maybe influence someone to become part of Your family. We thank You in the name of Jesus. Amen.